Well, we are in a series on 1 John, and today we're going to be talking about love and fear. When I was in college, I did something pretty crazy. I decided that I wanted to become a professional rodeo. Is that crazy? I was also about 100 pounds lighter than I am now. Yay, huh? Yeah, so... And buff too. Don't forget that. But in college, you know, I had my roommate. He was from Wisconsin, and he lived on a horse ranch. And I grew up on a crop farm in Colorado. I really never rode horses. I loved horses, but didn't do much with horses in Colorado until I got to college in Minnesota to go to Wisconsin to ride horses. It was crazy. And so I would go to with my friend Dwayne every break that we got to his house, except for Christmas break. I would go home, but every break I was there, and I loved horses. I loved riding them. I loved roping. I fell in love with that. Well, they had a horse there that they just bought, and this horse, her name was Willow. Willow the horse. But this horse was terrified of everything. Loud noises, sudden movements. This horse even jumped at her own shadow. It was unbelievable. But she also came from a very mistreated previous owner that did not treat the horse as well at all. And she had a lot of anxiety because of that, and a lot of fear because of that. And I remember walking into their barn one morning, and I was with Mark, my friend's dad, and we were approaching this horse because I wanted to see the new horse. It was a beautiful horse. It was a nice bay horse, you know, but it was scared of everything. And when I approached the horse, it kicked at me, and I got so scared. I fell over. And you know what I fell over into? A wheelbarrow of manure, right? Have you ever had a face of manure? No? Well, let me tell you, it's not pleasant. It is not pleasant at all. But it was like, I want to go away from this horse. I don't want to be by this horse. This horse is actually scaring me. It was so timid and so afraid of everything. But I remember my friend's dad approaching the horse very slowly as he's laughing at me in the pile of manure. He's approaching the horse very slowly, talking very softly. And he's coming up to this horse, and he's like, "It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. You're fine. You're fine." And I'm like, "What about me? I'm in a pile of manure. Help me out." And he said something as he was helping me out of the pile of manure, and my friend was laughing at me. He said something that stuck with me to this day. He said, "We're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. Fear doesn't leave quickly, but love never stops coming." And I'm like, wow, that means a lot. And it has stayed with me. You know, we're not in a hurry. Fear doesn't leave quickly. But here's the thing, love never stops coming. And day after day, my friend's dad went to Willow, came up, approached him softly and slowly, talked to him softly, or her softly, fed her, combed her, eventually started riding her. And when I came back for an Easter break, they still had Willow, and I'm like, okay, I want to see this horse, see what happened to this horse. And as I went into the barn, and as I was approaching Willow, very cautiously, because of my experience last time, that was hard to get out of the clothes, if you know what I mean. My experience last time, I was approaching, and then all of a sudden, I found that Willow, instead of taking a step back, she started taking steps forward to me. And I'm like, what happened? to this horse? What's going on? Instead of going and cowering in the corner, she started to move closer to me and put her head over the gate so I could pet her forehead. And finally, after months and months of love, patience, and gentleness, man, she started to rest her head on my shoulder and on Mark's shoulder, finally surrendering to this love that was given to her. And standing and watching that, I realized something. Even thinking about it for this message, I realized something, that fear cannot be argued away. It cannot be pushed out. Fear cannot be ignored either. Fear leaves when love enters. Not just any love, but the kind of love that says, you know what, I'm gonna pursue you. I'm gonna stay with you. The kind of love that outlasts fear's grips. And church, that is exactly what John is trying to show us in 1 John chapter 4. And we're gonna see that fear loses its power only in the presence of perfect love. And this is not the kind of love that you talk about, like Thanksgiving. I love food. Not that love. Or I love this. Man, I love that movie. That last Hallmark movie actually was really good. I love that one. But it's not that love that I'm talking about. A love that keeps coming. A love that doesn't retreat. A love that is patient and gentle and persistent. A love that comes from God himself. Because as John reminds us, and we'll see this, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And if there's ever a moment in history where we need to hear that, it's now. I mean, we're living in a world weighed down by anxiety, uncertainty in the economy. You know, there's wars happening all over the globe. There's political division here at home. In this country, there's rising violence, protests. There's social tensions. There's information overload on all kind of social media. And there's a constant stream of troubling headlines. So many people silently carry, and it might be you in here, but silently carry fear of the future, fear for their families, fear of instability, fear of what tomorrow might bring. But John tells us that perfect love doesn't simply confront us in our fear. It casts out fear. It casts fear away. It breaks fear's grip. It replaces fear with confidence and with peace and security in Christ Jesus alone. So with that picture in mind, man, I want us to step into the word together. And I want us to discover how God's perfect love, it overcomes this fear inside of us. Not by force, but by transformation. By transforming us from the inside out. So today I wanna lean into a powerful and freeing truth. Actually, three truths found in 1 John 4, 7 through 21. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 John 4. We're gonna start with verse 7. If you don't have a Bible here and you like to read, the ushers are here. Just raise your hand. They have a Bible for you. But turn to 1 John 4, then we're going to start with verse 7. You know, fear is something every one of us deals with. Every one of us has fear, some way, somehow. We have fear of the future, fear of rejection, fear of failure. That's one of my biggest fears, fears of failure. Fear of not being enough, fear of what people think of you, fear of what lies ahead. But fear shows up in our thoughts. Fear shows up in our relationships. And even in our spiritual lives, fear happens. But John tells us that there is a love, a perfect love that doesn't just confront us. It doesn't just confront us in our fear, but actually casts it out. And it removes fear, that power that fear has over us. It breaks fear's grip, right? It replaces fear with that confidence that I was talking about. The peace, everlasting, security. So let's walk through this passage together. And let's discover some of these beautiful truths about fear and about God's perfect love. Let's read 1 John 4, verses 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. There's a couple of things in these verses that I'd love for you to underline. One is God is love. That is a truth right there. That God is love. That God sent his Son, not because we loved him, but because he loved us first. See, one truth that I want you to write down, one truth is this, that perfect love comes from God, not us. Perfect love comes from God. It cannot come from us. Why? Because we are not perfect beings. We do not have that in us. But as we are becoming Christ-like, being sanctified, that's word, we are becoming more and more like him. Our love is becoming more and more like him. But this love that I'm talking about, it does not come from us. It only comes from God. Love isn't something we create. It isn't something we perform. It isn't something we receive. John opens this section by saying, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And anyone who does not love does not know God. That's a pretty powerful statement right there. Why? Because God is love. I mean, this statement is foundational. Love is not something humanity invented to appease itself or ourselves. It's not something that we muster up by trying harder. Love is from God because God himself is love. Before the world began, before you had a name, before you took a breath, man, guess what? God loved you. Because he knit you together in your mother's womb. And in Psalms it says that. And he has loved you from the beginning. His love is not a response to your goodness, because that can't happen. It is an expression of his nature. God's nature is love. And this is what Paul writes in Romans 5, 8. Paul says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still, what? Then what happened? Christ died for us. He showed his love. And then Jeremiah echoes that love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from far away. And this is what I want you to write down. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you. He's talking to Jeremiah and then to the Hebrew people, the Israelites in captivity. You know, I've loved you. I'm always going to love you. It's an everlasting love. And that's the same for us. God loves us, and it's an everlasting love. That means there's no beginning, no expiration date, no conditions. When fear whispers to us, you're not enough, you're not loved, you're not worthy, God's love, guess what? It responds back and it says, I love you. I've loved you before you could ever prove yourself. I've loved you before you could ever think that it was yours to give. Man, I have loved you. And you can never work for it. You can never do anything more and more for it. I've always loved you. Fear grows when we believe we must earn God's approval. Fear grows when that happens. But that's not what the gospel says. That's not what the gospel is. Gospel love is received. It's not achieved. It's perfect love. It comes from God. Then overcoming fear is not about trying harder. It's about what? It's about receiving in a deeper way. Saying, you know what? I am a child of God. And I know my God, my Father in heaven, loves me. And I can't do anything to make him love me more or less. He loves me. Overcoming fear in an age of uncertainty doesn't start with self-effort. And a lot of us like to control things. I love controlling things. I love to control the environment around me. I love to control what people think of me. I love to control what we watch on TV. Who doesn't? I mean, seriously. I love to control. But the more I try to control how much God loves me, the more I am disproved about that. Because it doesn't start with me. I was shoveling snow yesterday. Anybody shovel snow yesterday? Yeah, shoveling snow yesterday. And as you're shoveling snow, you know, you see your neighbor shoveling snow. And my neighbor is an older guy next to me. And he's out there and his snowblower didn't work. And I'm like, ha ha, now you have to shovel. What kind of attitude was that, right? So I'm shoveling away, and he's shoveling away, and I get done shoveling. What do you think I should do? Well, the smart me, the one that says, you're loved, so then go love, would say, go and help shovel. the dumb person that I usually am is selfish and says, I'm done, and he can shovel himself. Well, guess what? I failed. I did not help him shovel. And I felt terrible after that. I went inside going, why didn't I help him shovel? So the next time I shoveled, which was about 2 hours later, he was out there again. And the city snowplow came by, and of course you love those, don't you? At the end of your driveway, everything piles up at the end, and you're like, no, you know, Jesus doesn't love you. No, just kidding. I'm out there shoveling again. And then he comes out, and I'm like, okay. And I go over, I stop what I'm doing, I go over and I help shovel. And I had to tell him, I'm sorry. I knew I needed to help you. And he goes, oh, no problem. And I go, no, it was a problem. Because God told me to love. To love God and love others. And you're my neighbor. And so I'm gonna shovel for you. But there's this thing about love. When our humanity gets in the way, when fear starts to sink in, our love comes about or comes to notice just what we want and what we desire. I wanted to go inside and get warm and watch my Christmas movies. But God said, no, your love is more than that, Linfield. You're gonna show who I am through you by loving others. No more fear. No more uncertainty. No more selfishness. Overcoming fear in an age of uncertainty doesn't start with self-effort or selfishness or just looking after me. It chooses to rest in the truth that you are already loved, you are already accepted, you are already welcomed into the heart of God. And so that gets us to go to the next section in 1 John. 1 John 4:11 says this, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If perfect love starts with God, then it doesn't just stay with him. It changes us. The love that we receive becomes love we give. And that leads us to the second truth. See, John teaches us that perfect love transforms how we love others. And if I would have just given my message yesterday to myself, I would have helped him clean his driveway sooner. I mean, it's kind of a little thing, like, oh, help your neighbor, you know, shovel his driveway. But still, it shows love. And if I'm abiding in Christ, and if he's love, and I'm going to go love my neighbor, even shoveling his driveway, that means that my neighbor is seeing Jesus at work. And I didn't give him that opportunity to see that first. In verse 11, John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When God's love fills our heart, it doesn't just stay inside of us. It's got to overflow. It's got to flow outwards. And one of the clearest indication of spiritual maturity, if you want to know how mature you are spiritually, is not how much scripture we can quote or how many church gatherings we attend, but how well we love other people. That shows maturity. But however, there's this thing called fear. See, fear destroys relationships. Fear hinders love. Fear makes us defensive, guarded, withdrawn. Fear makes us suspicious sometimes. And fear makes us easily offended. Fear keeps relationships shallow because it tells us we might get hurt, so let's stay away. Fear keeps us hostage to the things of this world. Like, no, you're going to be in this world. You're going to be of this world. But when God's perfect love takes root in us, and it changes the way we see ourselves and the way we see people, we begin to extend grace instead of judgment, forgiveness instead of bitterness, compassion instead of criticism. Jesus said in John 13, John is quoting Jesus here. Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new love or a new commandment I give you, love one another, right? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you do what? Love one another. Our love is of God. To love people, it is of God. Colossians 3:34 says, above all else, these things here, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love. We love with God's love. It begins when we start loving with God's love, it begins to disarm the fears that hold on to our relationships. Those things that are holding on hostage. It starts to disarm those. Fear of rejection, fear of being misunderstood, fear of vulnerability, fear of being disappointed again. Fear says protect yourself. Love says give yourself. And the more we love, the more the grip of fear weakens within us. See, right now, more than ever, the world needs a church, Bridge Cities, that loves fearlessly. That's not ashamed of the gospel. That's ready to step out and love people like never before. John continues in 1 John 4. He continues in verse 17 saying this, by this, his love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfect in love, perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. He now turns from relationship with others to this relationship with God himself. And this is where perfect love becomes truly powerful. See, through John's word, it shows us that perfect love gives us confidence before God, before an almighty God. Verses 17 and 18, what does it say? It says, by this is love perfected with us, right? So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is so, I gotta remember this, right? Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Think about that for a moment. The greatest fear any human being could ever have is the fear of standing before a holy God. I mean, someday we'll do that. And is it going to be a fear of punishment and judgment, or a fear of awe and reverence? Yet John says that God's love doesn't lead us to terror, but to confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence. Confidence born from a relationship with God Almighty. Confidence born from knowing that we will deeply and completely be loved by our Heavenly Father. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, and it says, it actually invites you. It invites you to approach God's throne. It says this, let us then approach God's throne, the throne of grace. The throne of grace with what? With confidence. Man. That is a stunning invitation. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of condemnation. It's the throne of grace. Fear says God is disappointed in you. You're not enough. You should be afraid of what is to come of you. What's to come next? Fear tells us that God is waiting to punish us. But perfect love reminds us that God has already accepted us through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 38 through 39 assures us that neither death nor life nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? That means when fear rises in our heart, failure happens. When we're afraid to fail, when we have fear of the unknown, fear of the enemy. Man, we can respond with absolute certainty. I may feel fear, but I am fully loved. I may feel fear, but guess what? I am fully loved, and perfect love casts out fear. God offers a stability that cannot be shaken. So how do we live this out? How do we live this thing out? We receive God's love daily. It's a reminder almost every time that somebody stands on this platform or in a classroom or in a small group setting that we need to spend time in his presence. You got to get to know him, right? And we have to be reminded of his promises. We allow that love to shape our interactions with others. Choose to live boldly and generously. How do we perfect this love? Well, it's already perfected in Jesus. But how do we live it out confidently? Man, we walk with confidence that comes from knowing who we are and whose we are. We are loved more deeply than we can ever comprehend. And because of that love, fear no longer has the right to control our lives.